Hey now, hey now. You're listening to the Incular Experience podcast, true stories of music, mischief, and much more. This is episode 2 on November 18th, 2019. Today's theme is grateful. And with Thanksgiving right around the corner, fasten your seatbelt. We have a lot to talk about. What you're grateful comes in a lot of different forms. Maybe it's just helping someone, you know, cross the road. Maybe it's someone who's just a little bit short at the checkout line and you can slide them a dollar. You never know. The little things that one can do and say to change someone's life, you know, you never know. You never know. It's amazing. I highly recommend helping someone, whether it's to help them smile or to help them get ahead. You know, this is the time of year to be grateful. Grateful for family, grateful for friends, grateful for whatever opportunities that you have, grateful for anything. Share what you have, man, whether it's a smile or whether it's just anything. Be grateful. Yeah, be grateful. Now it's time for the word of the day. Today's word begins with the letter B, and the definition is a unit of volume equal to 2 hogsheads or 126 gallons. Be the first 3 to direct message me in my Facebook site, The Incular Experience, for a chance to win. And now the big story. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm gonna have to make a confession. All right, I had a story laid out. I actually had it all mixed up and ready to go. And the more I listened to it, the more I was like, wow, it's not only lengthy, but it's relatively boring. However, a nice statement about gratitude. After multiple listenings, I realized that this is about the Incular Experience. Music, mischief, and more. So I was like, well, my whole story really didn't have anything to do with music or mischief. So let's go back to March 31st, 1989, Greensboro, North Carolina, with the Grateful Dead. We met at the local fire station in Roanoke, Virginia at 12 o'clock so we could drive down to Greensboro, North Carolina to catch the Grateful Dead show. And one by one, everybody pulled up and we talked a little bit until everybody got there. And there were probably about 8 cars filled with people. And we all kind of started going down there at the same time and followed each other. Made it to our hotel, which was a Holiday Inn near the Greensboro Coliseum. And basically unpacked all of our stuff. Hung out for a while because we all had a cooler full of beer. And so we drank a few beers and then headed over to the parking lot where everything really started to happen. As we all pulled into the parking lot, we got out and looked around, and you know, it was the typical Dead show day where you had like a perfect day weather-wise, and you had so many different smells, mostly food smells, but you know, also the other stuff you smell at Dead shows. So, you know, we get out of the car and my friend leans into me and says, hey, you know, do you want to pop a dose? And I said, well, yeah, let's go ahead and do that and, you know, get it started. At this point, it's like 3 o'clock in the afternoon and the show's probably going to start around 7. So we figured, you know, we could kind of get everything started and roam around the parking lot for a while before the show. And we'd be in good shape by the time we got into the Coliseum. About 3:45 rolled around and I looked at my friend and I was like, you know, do you really feel anything? And he's like, not really, do you? And I was like, not really, you know, should we try to find something else? And about that time, you know, this young lady dressed kind of like a hermit. I don't know, she had like a hood and all this weird stuff, you know. And she was like, doses, doses, you know, like the ones you always see at a shakedown around the Dead shows. And so, you know, we said, sure, and we each grabbed one and took those. Well, about 4 p.m., I looked at my friend and I said, you know, I think the first ones are kicking in. And I'm not sure if the next one has or not. And he's like, I'm not sure either, but I know something's going on. By about 4:30, we were flying. I mean, it was like, you know, a little more than we could handle. So we finally found a little thing. It was kind of like a pyramid made out of bricks with, like, say, a tree kind of growing up through the middle. And we sat on this thing and we watched this performer set up his little, like, get together for his gig or whatever. And he juggled, like, flaming sticks and bowling pins, machetes and all this other stuff at the same time telling funny jokes and stuff. So we watched the guy set up and then perform his little thing, and we sat there and laughed our face off. We were like, oh my god, this is the funniest guy we've ever seen in our life. So we sat there and he finished up and packed his things and left, and then came back like 10 minutes later and started unpacking to do it again. Again, it was the flaming sticks and the bowling pins and the machetes and all the jokes. And we laughed at every single one of them, just mesmerized. And I don't know if we actually blinked the whole time, but we were amused and mesmerized and amazed. And everything was so funny that we just sat there and watched him. And he unpacked and set up, unpacked, set up, you know, and then he'd leave and come back every 10 minutes. Well, after about five times of him setting up, doing his act, then unpacking, leaving, and doing the same thing over and over, we looked behind us and realized there were about 1,000 people watching as well, and we didn't even know they were there. So we got up and kind of were spooked, and we ran like behind some trucks and just stood there for a few minutes to regain our composure, and then went into the show. We entered the Coliseum about 3 songs into the first set, and basically walked our way all the way to the front rails on the right side and didn't move even during the set break. So there we were throughout the show. It was a wonderful show. I don't remember that much. You know, I was a senior in high school and really super high, but I remember having a really good time, and the magic was there, and the Grateful Dead always puts on a good show. And even if, like, the diehard Deadheads say, oh, that wasn't one of their best shows, when you're there, you might not know it. At the end of the show, with everything still glowing and crazy as can be, we all made our way back to our cars. And at this time, you know, I took 4 people or 5 people over to the show, but now I have 3 people riding shotgun, 6 people in the back seat, and my friend and his brother in the trunk. It was kind of a scary situation driving back to the hotel, because every time a police officer was waving an orange wand, it got a little tricky, you know, trying to keep my focus on the wheel of the car. But we finally made it back to the hotel, and then I had this wonderful idea, and I thought it might work, so I whispered about it to my friend, and he thought it would be a good idea too. So that's when we went back to our hotel room. At that point, we grabbed 2 chairs out of our hotel room and took them to the elevator. And we decided that everybody that walked on the elevator, we would interview them like we were doing a talk show. And we thought it was the funniest thing in the world and decided to go ahead and do that. So, yeah, we put the chairs in the elevator, and, you know, the door closes and goes down to the first floor, and ding, it's like 8 Deadheads trying to get on the elevator. And as they do, we're like, hey, and welcome to our TV show. You are on tonight, you know. And we start doing this crazy, like, talk show, and people were like, love being interviewed after a Dead show, because most of them are tripping too. And a lot of them are just, you know, having a ball anyway. So they thought it was really funny. And then they'd invite us to their room to hang out and have a beer or something. And we'd get back in and interview more people. Now, the fun part was, you know, 9 out of 10 people were coming from the show. And they were into it. And they thought it was funny as hell. But then you had, like, the traveling family and the elderly couple. And they thought we were from another planet. They didn't know where the hell they were, but they were like, what in the hell is going on here? What is going on tonight? They had no clue. And that was the fun part about it, really, because that blew their mind. But we interviewed them too. After about 3.5 hours of interviewing people in the elevator, we decided it was probably time to go back to our room, because it was around 1:30 in the evening. And we figured management wouldn't be too into our interviews, you know, at that point in the night. So we went on to our room and called it a night. Really didn't do anything but sit and talk and laugh, because there was no way in hell we were going to sleep. So eventually the sun came up, and everybody stirred a little bit later. And, you know, we had breakfast as a group and drove on home. And it was a really fun experience. And it's something that, you know, I wouldn't condone to children or anybody at this point. But, you know, back in 1989, I was adventurous, ready to conquer the world. And I loved going to Grateful Dead shows. I thought it was the most wonderful place you could ever be. And that is the big story. And now, on the record. Today's record of the day is the self-titled Grateful Dead album from 1971, Grateful Dead. Some people call it Skull and Roses, but it had some of their best songs at that time played at their best peak abilities. They're just so wonderful. I highly recommend going out and getting it if you don't have it already. Definitely, yeah. It was a great album. It was recorded in October 1971 on Warner Brothers Records. Now I'm going to have to go back to my first record of the day, which was Led Zeppelin 1. A friend of mine pointed out that I picked out a couple songs as notable, when in reality, the whole damn record's notable. It was a great record. What can you say? So I highly recommend Led Zeppelin 1. Every damn song on it's good. And I love the power and glory of the Grateful Dead Live 71. Well, that concludes episode 2 of the Incular Experience, true stories about music and mischief. Now check on a friend that you think has had a recent loss and ask how they're doing. If they say fine, ask them again. Say, how are you really doing? Maybe they'll open up and you can save a life and maybe help them out a little bit. You guys take care, and I'll see you next time.